I'm excited about today. We've been talking about the harvest. In fact, it's 7 weeks ago to the day. If you were here at service, you were given a little package of seeds and you planted them. And this is what 7 weeks of growth under a growing light looks like for these flowers. And so a couple weeks ago, we pulled some weeds. I found another weed this week. I couldn't believe it. It was a tricky one. Looked almost like the flowers, but it wasn't. Let me tell you, sometimes the weeds in our lives look like it's good, but it's not. We need to be aware of those weeds and continually look at the garden, the seedbed of our hearts, to deal with the things that are growing there. Amen. It's an ongoing thing. If you want to have a good garden, you can't just weed it once, right? You got to basically every week, or even more often if it's raining, got to keep going back, and you got to deal with this, the weeds that grow there. But let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit of God will help you and give you discernment to deal with the weeds that are in your life if you'll let Him. That's the if part, right? You know, you got to be willing to let Him show you and then be willing and obedient to deal with those weeds that are in your life. Amen. So we talked about the importance of the harvest. What I want to talk about today, where we're going to land today at the end, is actually give you some tools to be able to be a better harvester, all right? But before that, what I want to do is set the stage. You need to know that God has called you to be a laborer in God's harvest field. Because so often we look as believers, and I remember this. I was part of a church for the first 20 years of my life where the harvester was the pastor. In other words, it was his job to lead people to Jesus. It was his job to do this and to do that. And that's what I was taught, you know, as a young person growing up. But as I look at the scriptures, it doesn't say that at all. And I want to just make sure that we all know this and we get it deep down in our hearts. So let's go to Scripture. Scripture is absolute truth, right? See what the Word has to say. And if we look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, and they're going to put it up as well. This is New American Standard Version. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You know, as I look at this scripture, it says a lot of things. So let's just begin at the start. It says, we are ambassadors for Christ. Well, that word ambassador actually means, you know, a senior representative. You know, how many people have talked to a junior representative of maybe a company or something? And what do you think when you're talking to them? They don't know nothing, do they? You know, they got to talk to somebody else, right? You know, it's always that, you know, it's almost like, listen, can I just talk to your supervisor? Like, that's really, you know, I've gotten to that point in my life a lot of times. But here's the thing. That's not what God has called you and I to be. We are the senior representatives of the kingdom of God. Now, as ambassadors, if you think, then what comes to my mind right away is an embassy. So I have dual citizenship. I'm a Canadian and I'm an American. So if I went down to New York City and went to the Canadian embassy, and it's all, you know, gated up, little Canadian flag flying with the maple leaf in the middle there, you know, and all I would have to do to get in there is show them my Canadian passport through the bars, right? And what would they do immediately? What would they do? Open the gate. Pull me in. Say, hey, welcome to Canada. Because literally that little embassy is a little piece of Canada. All the rules, all the regulations, all the laws are right there and enforced. And part of it is my protection, right? Literally, I'm there and I'm a part of Canada. Therefore, as part of the embassy area, I now am in a little chunk of Canada. Well, can I tell you something? That we, as ambassadors of the kingdom, we don't have little embassies. You know, there's no place on earth that we can go to and say, okay, this is heaven, all right now, because it's there. So where is heaven right now? It's inside of us. So as ambassadors of Jesus, that literally wherever you and I go, we're like little embassies. Literally, where the presence of God is, as we go, that people can come to us seeking refuge, seeking help, and we are there to give an answer for what God has put into us. Amen? And that's your job and my job. It's not the pastor's job. In fact, you know what my job primarily is? The Bible says this in Ephesians 5, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. My job actually isn't so much to go out and share the gospel. My job is to equip you so you can do it. Now, I love doing it, and I do it, but the thing is, my primary calling is to help you to be able to share your faith, being unashamed, being equipped, being comfortable to do it, and feeling so free and liberating in doing it. But for many of us, we're scared to death. We're afraid to share our faith because we're not sure how to do it. We're afraid we might mess up. We're afraid we might look like an idiot. You know, there's all kinds of different reasons, right? But look at this. And you need to understand this. Why do we do this? As ambassadors, as senior representatives, it said, though God were making an appeal through us, look at the wording, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Literally, here's the thing. Paul, who wrote this letter to the Corinthian church, is saying, look it, you need to, you know, encourage people highly. Beg them, encourage them. That, listen, you need to accept Jesus. Now, I'm not saying to force someone, but you need to make this a priority. Why? What did we talk about last week? The subtitle was this, are we staying or are we going? And essentially we talked about the tribulations that we go through, the small t ones, which all of us go through, right? But let me tell you something, there's a big T tribulation coming down the road, and it's a hell on earth that nobody wants to go through. And when we get that down in our spirit to realize that if a person doesn't know Jesus, that's what they're going to go through, then you start begging people. Then you start exhorting him, saying, please, you know, listen to what I'm saying. I just want you to know that God loves you. He's got a plan for your life, and it's good because you don't want them to go through that hell on earth. You see, when it becomes more real to us, then we can easily share it. But if we're not sure ourselves, we're like, I don't know, then what happens is then we vacillate on the sharing of our faith. But the Word says that we are to do this literally begging people. In other words, this needs to be a priority in our life. It doesn't say to be a part-time ambassador. You know, it's interesting, an ambassador, when they're sworn in as ambassadors, it's not an 8-to-5 or 8-to-4 kind of job, and then they're off. They're not an ambassador anymore. They're called to that position, and they're an ambassador 24/7. So that means when somebody calls you in the middle of the night, guess what? You may not feel like being an ambassador, but you are. You hear what I'm saying? It's not just when you get ready for Sunday morning and all dressed up and you come to church. Okay, yeah, I'm a representative of Jesus today. I feel good. I feel good. You know what I'm saying? That's not what it's about. It's Monday morning when it's like, oh, man, I got to drag myself out. I got to go to work. You know, you are an ambassador for Christ. You hear what I'm saying? When you go to school, when you're talking to your neighbor, when you're dealing with family. I'll just leave that. All right? You're an ambassador representing Jesus. And I know that's tough, but here's the thing. God doesn't just call us. This is so important. He equips us. In other words, you're not just left on your own. He doesn't say, okay, you'll figure this out, sink or swim. He is there. His presence is on and in us as believers to help us to do this. You can do this with Christ's help, I promise you. Amen? Okay, so as I look at this, it's really important to know that your future is solid in Jesus. In doing that, you'll be able to lead others. And so how does that happen? You need to be reading the Word. You need to be spending time in prayer. You need to be talking to the Lord on a daily basis. That will help you to be a stronger believer for Him. Amen? So before I get to the tools, I want to give you three things that you need to be. And you're going to get this as we go through because these three things are super, super important. You have to be these things before you can do the things God's called you to do. All right? So let me give you the first one. The first thing you need to do is to be different. All right? Be different from those in the world. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Listen, you're different. You were once in darkness, now you were light. It says in Ephesians that you were once in darkness, but now you are a child of the light. Walk as a child of light. So that gives us the idea that there's a part that we play, amen? There was recently, over the last couple of months, there's been some videos on YouTube and Facebook showing people who are colorblind. So basically, they can just see black and white grays. And there's these special glasses that can help some of those people to be able to see in color. Now, I don't know how the glasses work. I don't get it, all right? But people have done short videos of when these people get these glasses and for the first time put them on. And in this one case, this guy, he's freaking out. He's like, what color is this? And he's pointing to like a green plant and he doesn't know what color it is. He's never seen color. And they're like, oh, that's green. And he goes outside and, like, and the guy's eyes are like, and mouth is like, he goes, what color is the sky? And they say, well, that's blue. Well, what are those other things that seem to be floating? Well, those are clouds. That's white. you know, and had never seen color before. And literally their eyes are open to the reality of it. And it just changes their whole way of looking at things. Well, listen to me. When you come out of darkness into light, that's exactly the same thing that happens to you. I remember the day that I got saved. I was in a haymow, 1985. I remember the spot. I could picture it in my mind's eye. And I remember accepting Christ. I'm not going to get into the story right now, but I remember accepting him. And I remember climbing down the ladder and going outside. I've been outside, lived on a farm my entire life, right? And I remember going out the door, and I looked out, and I went, oh, the grass was brighter, greener. The sky was bluer, bluer. I couldn't explain it, but it was literally like I'd been given a new pair of glasses, been given something by the presence of God that changed me. Now, for some of you, you may have a story similar to that. For others, it may be just a different thing where the Word of God became alive to you, or it's different circumstances. You just knew that you were different. Now, here's the thing. What's different on the inside is great, but you got to begin to let that difference get to the outside so people can see it. And that's so important. We were once in darkness. We were once doing everything the world does. We were just one of their buddies. You know what I'm saying? Doing all that stuff. But now, since Christ has come into our hearts, something has changed. We're different now. And God has called us to walk in light. So that means that we have to make a decision to leave darkness, to leave sinful things, to leave things that don't honor and glorify God, and begin to be different from those around us. Now, here's the thing. It's not something I'm telling you have to make yourself do, but you've got to let God do it. You get what I'm saying? When he convicts you of some dark things in your life, to say, Lord, I'm so sorry I'm doing that still, or I'm thinking that, or I'm acting that way. Show what do I do? And here's the cool part. Holy Spirit won't whack you up in the head. He won't say you're an idiot. You know, you shouldn't do that. That's not what he'll do. He'll come along and he'll hug you, and he'll love on you and say, let me help you through this. But you got to ask. Jesus will not force his way, just as he didn't force his way in on the first day you said yes to him. He will not force his way in the second day, third day, fourth day. You get what I'm saying? He's a gentle voice. He leads us. He doesn't drive us. And so you have to make that decision. How much light do you want to let in? You know what I've learned? Open every door, open every window, open every possible part of my life to let as much light in as possible. So it drives out the darkness. But you have to open it. You have to let him. There's a scripture in Revelations that says, and it's speaking of Jesus and you, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. And the one speaking is Jesus knocking on the door. But we got to open the door and let him in. Amen? And here's the thing. People use that for a salvation message. But do you know the context of that scripture in Revelation 3? It was to the church. It was to the church. So that means that God doesn't just knock once on the door, but he's knocking continually on the doors of our heart, saying, hey, will you let me into this area? Will you let me into that area? You know, sometimes when you have company over, right, and you haven't maybe cleaned up for a while, you let the doorbell ring for a while, right? Because you're scurrying around, put some stuff away. You know, and sometimes I think that's how we are in the realm of the Spirit, right? Jesus comes knocking, you're like, hey, not today. Come back tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? My spiritual house is a bit of a mess here. But here's the thing. He's seen it all. He's seen it all. Just let him in. Let him do what he wants. He will not hurt you. He'll do only good things in your life for your benefit and blessing. Amen? Okay. So be different and let that difference show to the world around. I'm not saying be perfect. None of us are perfect. But different. Amen? As the Lord allows us to be. Okay. So be different is the first thing. We need to be ready. Be ready to share the hope that's within us. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. I love this scripture. This scripture is just so wonderful. And so it says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. What does that mean? Oh, Lord, I revere you. No, revere means to put him at the foremost, at the top of the list of important things. In other words, he's on your mind on a regular basis, not just when you feel like it, not just church on Sunday morning for an hour, but Monday morning and Tuesday and every day of the week. At night, in your dreams, you're talking to Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? He's literally a part of every aspect of your being. That's what it means to revere him. He's above your family. He's above your job. He's above your career. He's above everything. Everything that this world has to offer is below Jesus. And you know what I've learned? That when we revere him and we put him at the top of the list, everything else seems to get into order. I can't explain it, But I can just tell you that's what happens, amen? Put him first. And then it says, always be prepared to give an answer. Now, I've had lots of Christians say to me, great, I'll be ready if someone asks me. With the attitude that, well, no one's probably going to ask me. I'll just, you know, do my life, and if they ask, I'd be shocked. You know, they won't ask. Here's the thing. Sometimes people ask without using words. Sometimes you can see them asking with their eyes. Sometimes you can see them asking with their tears. Sometimes you can hear or see them as they're walking with shoulders slumped and their heads down. In other words, lots of people are asking for an answer of the hope that's within you. And sometimes they use words, but sometimes they don't. So I'm going to embarrass Robin's here this morning, Robin Stanzioli. I embarrassed you at the first service, but you weren't here. So anyway, so I'm going to embarrass her because she wouldn't talk about this. You know what I mean? Because she doesn't want to glorify herself. But I can do this because I can tell you I was there and saw it happen. And she's probably thinking, what is he talking about? It's good. It has a good ending, Robin, all right, just so you know. So I went down to visit Elder Chris, which is Robin's husband, down at Norwood, New Jersey. So it's about an hour and a half drive. So I get down there and you know, come in and, you know, talking with Chris and talking with Robin. And just to give you an update on health stuff, Chris had been in the hospital dealing with double pneumonia, UTI infection, and some other things as well. And had just gotten back, a week or so ago, back into the rehabilitation center. So we prayed with him and talked with him and that. So Robin and I are just standing, you know, by the wall. Chris is there. And one of the aides comes in. All right, just one of the guys, and so his head's kind of down. He looks kind of sad, right? And he looked like he was, you know, a Middle Eastern descendant. So Robin, right away, doesn't give it a second thought, says, oh, are you celebrating Ramadan? Because, you know, part of Ramadan is just kind of, you know, looking a little bit like that. And so the guy says, no, he says, actually, I'm a Christian, and actually names the denomination and Christian. And so Robin said, okay, that's nice, you know. And then he asked, well, what are you? And so pointing to us, and so we said, well, we're non-denominational Christians, and we just believe, you know, what the Bible says. Talk a little bit about that. So little back and forth goes on, and he then Robin asked, well, you know, do you fellowship? You know, are you, you know, with a church? He goes, well, a couple years ago, the church that I was in burned down, and I haven't gone back since. He says, well, you know, I pray at home and, you know, kind of, you know, tried to give some excuses why he wasn't in church, you know, and that's fine. Now, Robin, without skipping a beat, this is awesome. And this is what I love about this story, because it just was in her. Jesus is in her. You get what I'm saying? Just said, well, you know, it's really important to be in communion with other believers. It's really important because it helps you and makes you stronger. So this person looks up and literally you could see his eyes were all kind of glistening, like, and he goes, you know, thank you so much for telling me that. I think you're right. You know, and then, you know, he went on and carried on in life. Here's the thing. Robin didn't have to try to make that happen. She just let it happen because it's in her. That's what I'm trying to talk to you about the bees here, you know, to be different and to be ready. It's letting Jesus come out of you. It's not you trying to do something. It's really you and me getting out of the way so Jesus can do what he wants to do in and through us. You hear what I'm saying? And in fact, that's the biggest struggle in our lives, is us to get the heck out of the way so God can do what he wants, all right? And so I encourage you. So, you know, Robin would not tell that story probably because she doesn't want to bring any glory to herself. But I'm just telling you. So here's the thing. Chris is there. How long has Chris been in the hospital? 8-9 months now? A long time, right?
At least. I'm trying to get him to move up to Highland.
To be closer. Amen. Amen. I'd love to have him a lot closer to home. So here he is, you know, dealing with some health issues. Now, let me tell you something. Robin is probably one of the most faithful wives that I know. She is there for him day in, day out, at night. You name it, she is there for him. But here's the thing. Even though she's given everything to him, there's that young man walking in the door, and what does she do? So let me ask you this, and I'm here to make you squirm a little. But if you don't move too much and just look at me, what's your problem? What's my problem? If Robin's got all that going on in her life, and yet still she can share Jesus, what's our problem? What's our excuse? And I say that in a way to, you know, I'm poking the bear here. I am. But I want us to think about this a little bit and realize the reality that there's a whole world surrounding us that needs to hear about the Lord. And God has called you and I as ambassadors to be that light for him. When I was still living in Canada, I was young in the Lord, just a couple years old in the Lord, and I was in the trade, so I had to go to this place to buy parts, 20-minute drive up the road, to a guy by the name of Larry. And I'd been dealing with him for a few years, and so the Lord spoke to me as I was driving up, and the Lord said, I want you to tell him about me. And I'll be honest with you, I started sweating bullets. I'm like, I don't know whether I can do this. So I get up there, you know, and I'm talking with Larry. And it was like a perfect time. Nobody else was in the store. It was like this perfect opportunity, right? And time ticks by. And then he went and got something and come back. And then the sale was over and I left. Never said a word. Drove away. And on the way home, I kind of pushed it out of my mind. Carried on, life carries on, right? And so a week later, a friend of mine came to me and said, hey, did you hear about Larry? I'm like, what do you mean? What happened to Larry? He goes, he was out shoveling snow, dropped dead of a heart attack. He's gone. And he was just 45 years old, just a young guy. We're not talking about somebody 70, 80 years old. Just had a massive coronary, had some kind of issue with his heart and died. And right away, you know what I started thinking about? Where did he go? What have I done or not done? Now again, I went to the Lord and I obviously, Lord, I'm so sorry. Now my prayer is that someone else came along, that the Lord sent another agent, another ambassador along, amen? But that day, here's what I said to myself, never again will I let that happen. Never again. And I'll tell you something, I've been in some uncomfortable situations where I didn't want to share. And I said, you know what? I know the Lord wants me to, and I'm going to. And I've seen God do some amazing miracles as a result of it. Listen, heed my Larry story so you don't have one. That's why I'm telling you. I don't want you to have a Larry story. I'd rather hear the story of, hey, I talked to Larry and I was able to share Jesus with him. And, you know, I don't know what decision he made, or yes, he did, or whatever. But the point is, you did your part in the harvest. I can't encourage you enough. I beg you, I beseech you. You know, you're using scripture, right? Don't let it become your story. Because even though God's forgiven me, moved on, I still have that little pain in my heart that I missed an opportunity that God had for me. You don't want that, amen? So when God speaks to your heart, you know, just take that step of faith. Those who he calls, he equips. In other words, if he's asked you to do something, he'll give you the words, he'll give you the strength, he'll give you the ability to do it, amen? So we need to be different. We need to be ready. And again, those people may not use words. You need to be a good observer. And the Lord may even just put it on your heart through a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Hey, that person has a need. Or here's an in to be able to talk to that person. Just take a chance and see what God will do. Amen? All right. Final thing is, this is so mission critical, is this. You need to be loving even when it's hard. John 13, verses 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I can't tell you how important this is. You know, in your sharing, it's not that you're yelling and screaming and trying to make people do anything, but you're doing it out of an attitude that your life has been changed, and you want them to be aware that God can help them too. And it's done with compassion and love and encouragement. That's kind of the atmosphere that we're to have. Now, if you think about it, and if you put those three up on the screen here, the be different, be ready, and be loving, what am I really describing? Who am I really describing? I'm describing the character and nature of Jesus. That's what's supposed to be inside you and I. But here's the thing, you can't put it on. It's not like putting on a set of clothes on a morning or a certain hat. It's allowing Jesus to work out from the inside to the outside of you. Amen? Can't encourage you enough with this. So, what are some hindrances? I got a list here. Let me just throw these out. How about this? Fear. You know, I didn't share with Larry because of fear and lack of confidence. That's my second thing, right? You feel you're not qualified or equipped or prepared. You know, there's other things, right? You just feel it's not the right time. You know, I might be embarrassed. You know, the list goes on and on. For each and every one of us, the enemy will use all kinds of different aspects to hinder us from sharing our faith. So what I want to do in the next literally 7-8 minutes is to help you to be better equipped. How many people would like to be a little better equipped to do this? All right, so let's start with this. First of all, you have something right now that's unique to only you. And you might say, whoa, what is that? You know, is it a bank account? Nobody gave me, where's the bank? You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm actually talking about something that's even more precious than gold or silver or diamonds or anything this world has to offer. You have a testimony. You have a story that's unique to you and you alone. It's awesome. It's awesome. And your testimony, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus and the word of your testimony defeats the enemy, defeats Satan. Amen? And so God's done his part with his blood, dying on the cross at Calvary. That's why we have a cross here, right? But the other part is the story of how God has changed your life. So let's talk about that for a minute. This is a really important tool in your toolbox to be able to share the Lord. And so here's the thing. I was taught years ago that you should be able to share your entire testimony in 2 minutes or less. And you might say, well, hold it. My story is my whole life. Like, I got to sit down for like a half a day to tell somebody. Well, that may be true, but you need to give the condensed version, all right? Now, here's the thing. A lot of times, I've heard people share their testimonies lots of times. In fact, there used to be years ago, people would travel around, share their story, and about two-thirds of it was what their life was like before Jesus. You know, I did this, and I did that, and everyone, wow, you know, and everyone would get kind of caught up in it. But here's the thing, I don't want to give the devil much glory. You know, I don't want to give him any credit really at all. So let me tell you something, our story, our testimony breaks up into three parts. We have the BC part. The BC is before Christ, all right, before Jesus was a part of your life. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. You need to keep that pretty short. Basically say, I was really bad. You know what I'm saying? And you may be able to make a point, you know, whatever it might be. But literally within like 20 seconds, let's not give the devil any more due. And in fact, if you're talking to an unsaved person, they already know what the dark side's like. You don't really need to embellish that, do you? Now, if it's somebody you know, family member, maybe there was family abuse involved or something, you say, well, look it. You know life was bad, you know, and you can just say that. And then, but listen, I want to tell you about something that happened to me. And then you move into your encounter with Jesus. That's the middle part. And that's the most important part. And each one of us has a uniqueness to that. For some like me, although God had spoken to me a couple times earlier in my life, it was literally that one day in the haymow, 1985, middle of September, you know, on that sunny day, was when I was changed by Christ. Now, for some of you, it might not be a pointed moment. It might be over a week of time or a year of time. But somewhere along the way, if you have Jesus in your heart, a change happened. You were once in darkness, and now there's light on the inside of you. And that's your encounter with Jesus. And you need to be able to take a minute or two to be able to just say, and this is what happened now. And then the next part, which is equally important, is the AC part. After Christ. In other words, you've talked about the before Christ, the BC, you've talked about the encounter, whatever that might be, but now, since I've accepted Jesus, this is how my life has changed. I'm not perfect, but I tell you, it feels so good to know that someone's with me, holding my hand through the valleys, the mountains, everywhere where I am. And again, I'm just putting out my story in a sense, but for each one of you, you have a different aspect of it, and that's your testimony. That's the most powerful tool that you have in your toolbox to share your faith, your story, because it's not something you got to study or read about. You know, you know it because it happened to you, and that's how you need to do this. But here's the thing. You may only have 2 minutes in the elevator or 2 minutes in the taxi. You get what I'm saying? So you need to refine it down to 2 minutes. Now, there may be times where you might be able to share a little bit longer, depending on the circumstance. But get it down so that you can do it in 2 minutes. For some of us here, you may need to write it out for the first time, just so that you can just get it straight in your head. There's some people who need to do that. But when you read it, make sure it's no more than 2 or 3 minutes long. Because if it goes on and on, page after page, you got to put a time out on that and say, okay, what needs to come out of this? So that if I only have a couple minutes on an airplane or a certain plane, I can share my story. Because let me tell you something, all the bad stuff that happened isn't really that important. What really is important is your encounter with Jesus and the change after. All right? So just so you know, that's where you're headed and that's the primary thing. So that's your most important tool that you've got. And you don't need any training really about it just to realize it's there for you. So what I'm going to give you now in our remaining couple minutes is another tool that you can use, all right? Now, you'll notice, did everybody get a little plastic clear bag? Did everybody get that? Anybody not get it? Because if you didn't get it, if you go to the back, okay, a couple hands went up. So, John, you're going to look after them. So make sure if you think he's going out to get them, he's going to help you out. Please, really important. I want to make sure everybody gets these. Now, you'll notice I gave you a clear bag this time. When we planted the seeds, I gave you a paper one, and you all had to look inside, even though we said don't look in it. So now I give you a clear bag so you could see without having to open it. All right. So now you may open the bag. Okay. So this is where we're going, but don't do anything till I explain some things to you. You want to put a picture up. You've got a couple, three choices, actually. You only see two here. You can, with the tools that I've given you, make a bracelet. All right? You also, with the same things, make a bookmark. Having said that, there's a third one that the Lord just showed me this morning, and that's where you can make a bookmark-style design, and then what you can do is tie it onto your keychain and just cut off the extra string. So it's just on your keychain. So that means wherever you go, it's connected to you, all right? So I really don't care which one you do, but I do encourage you to participate in this. Listen, you're in church. Jesus is watching you. Can you please be actively participating in this? You can do this, all right? And so here's what we're going to do. You're going to take the string. If you're going to make a bracelet, you take the string like this. See the string I got here? You take it and put the two ends together so it looks like this, okay? And then what you do is go like this and move about an inch over and then tie a knot. So it's like when you're going to start to tie your shoes. You know what I'm saying? You're just going to tie a knot. Now, if you're going to make the bookmark, you're just going to put the knot up at the end instead. Everyone with me on this? We can do this, all right? We're Christ followers. We're empowered by the presence of God. We can do this, all right? Okay, you could tie the knot on the very end if you want to just do a bookmark. But if not, you want to do it near the center of the string. So here it is. I've gone like this, and I made the knot just a couple inches off of center. Okay? Show the picture again, guys. Pop that up again. All right. Now, just so you know, as part of your package, we're going to give it to you as you're leaving. We have a YouTube video link that's 1 minute long that shows you exactly how to do this. All right? So if you screw it up, you can get help. I promise you. Okay. Can I tell you something? I'm not here to make you a fashion accessory. That's not what this is about, all right? This is a visual aid that I'm providing, all right? Now, if you want to wear it, you want to use it, I encourage you to, all right? And so here's what this represents. What you're going to do now is take the black bead. What do you think black represents? Anybody got a clue? Sin. Okay, that's what it represents. So you want to slide it on first so it's the one closest to the knot, all right? So it represents sin. It represents the darkness. You know, the Word of God in Romans 3:23 says all of sin to fall short of the glory of God. All right? So if you were sharing this with someone, again, with a visual aid, you're pointing to the little black bead, and you're going to talk about it represents sin. All right, what might be the next color? Anybody got an idea? Red, thank you. Red represents the blood of Jesus, that he gave his life on the cross of Calvary as a substitute for us. Amen? So we begin with sin, right? The black bead representing sin. The red representing the blood of Jesus. Okay, what bead do you think might be next? Anybody? White. It's white. Now, you could go green, there's argument for that. But let's go white, okay? So white represents purity, okay? Represents cleansing, your purity. It represents the fact that as we begin to walk with Jesus, because now we have a relationship with him, he begins to drive out the darkness as we let him, amen? So that's what that white represents, that our life begins to change, amen? Okay, so then what do you think the next one is? We only have two colors left. What do you think? Okay. It's green, all right, for those that are... So it represents Christian maturity or Christian growth. The idea is that after you've recognized that you're a sinner, after you've allowed the blood of Jesus to cleanse you because you've accepted him into your life, then all of a sudden you begin to be purified and cleansed. The green represents your growth in Christ. As you begin to read his word, as you spend time in prayer, hopefully come to good churches like here and be able to talk about these things and be encouraged to be able to grow in your faith. All right. Now, what's the last color? Yeah, it's the only one that's got left, right? It actually is supposed to be gold, okay? The idea is it's gold. We didn't have any gold beads, so we went with yellow, but okay? And it represents heaven. The idea is, Scripture says this in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Also, it says in Revelations that the city in heaven is going to be what? Made with gold. Streets are gold. The buildings are gold. It's pretty amazing, right? Isn't it amazing that we consider gold so precious now, and it's just going to be building materials in heaven? There's a thought for us, amen? And so, why do we do this? Okay, so then what you're going to do, once you get all your beads on, you're going to tie a knot at the other end. So basically, these beads are captured, all right? Everybody got that figured out? Put another knot. So then there they are in a row. Black, red, white, green, and yellow. So if you've made a bracelet, there's a way to make slip knots so you don't have to keep tying it all the time. And that's in the YouTube training video that you can watch on your own. And how do you get that? This card, don't go running for it right now, is on the back tables. So as you leave, grab this card. It has all the definition of each of the colors, plus the YouTube link that you can go to and see exactly how to do it. And if you don't want to do all that, ask Pastor Erin. She's an expert on this. And anybody else know how to do the slip knots for the bracelets? Yeah, you're all afraid to put your hands up. I know, because I was going to say, go see them. But anyways, we'll help you if you don't have a link to YouTube. So, again, you can make bracelet, you can use a bookmark, tie it to your keys. I personally like that one, because it's always with you. So why have I given this to you? I've done it for two reasons. To help you, because now you have a visual aid to help literally walk a person through the gospel. And you might say, well, look, I don't know all the verses. I don't know all the references. Listen to me. An unsaved person does not care. What they care about is that you're sharing the love of Jesus with them. Now, should you learn Scripture? I encourage you to. But let me tell you something. Whether you know the reference exactly where it is not mission critical to share the gospel. So you have all of these. Now, the neat thing is, if it's hooked to your keys, then listen to me. None of you go anywhere without your keys. They're just there. Now, what if you're having coffee with someone and all of a sudden the opportunity comes up to share your faith and you maybe share your testimony and you're like, well, how does this work? You plop your keys out on the table. And you say, well, let me show you. I got these bead things, and it helps me to understand it. And you can just walk them through it, the five steps to knowing Christ and knowing what walking with Jesus is all about. So I've just given you another tool to add to your toolbox. What you do with it is up to you. In a sense, like with any garden tool, you can leave it outside and it'll rust, or you can lose it, you can throw it away. That's on you. But if you're willing, this could be a very powerful tool to share Jesus with individuals. This is a great tool as well for very little money. You got grandkids or young people in your life or anybody, you come along and say, hey, I did this thing at church. I think the pastor's a little crazy. Let me tell you what he said. What do you think? You can use me that way. I don't mind, all right? You know, and then share this with them, and who knows? They might say, well, man, that makes sense. How do I do this? And you can lead them to Jesus, amen? This is all about the harvest. I've been saying this for 7 weeks. The whole reason I exist, the whole reason this church is here is about the harvest. And listen, we've got an amazing opportunity coming up. You can be a missionary without even leaving here. You can be sharing the gospel without even leaving here this very morning. We've got Pastor Erin needs your help. They want to stuff eggs with chocolates. And you might say, what's that got to do with sharing the gospel? Well, here's the thing. We got to do that because next week we get hundreds of kids and their parents coming on the grounds for an Easter egg hunt. Do we really care about the Easter egg hunt? Not really. We're doing it to bring the people so that they can see the love of Jesus. That's why we do what we do. I know some people are, you know, let me tell you something. We don't have a giant bunny in the back made of gold that we worship, okay? We don't have that, all right? We just do this thing as a way to bring people to Jesus. In fact, if you look at all the announcements that are on the handout that was given you, everything is about Jesus. Everything is either directly or indirectly. You know, so I encourage you to think about this, that you can share your faith by becoming involved in all kinds of different ways. Amen. You know, I think of Karen Bishop does her, I think it's called Body Movers. You know, it's basically low impact exercise for people during the week. Again, that's something you might say, well, what's that got to do with Jesus? Well, here, it can very easily. What about your neighbor or your friend or your coworker? Say, hey, there's this low-impact exercise thing on Thursday. You want to come with me? And then as a result of it, conversations can happen. And that person, if they don't know Jesus, could come to Jesus. Everything that we do is about Jesus. Let's stand together. And I hope that everything that you do is about Jesus. You know, that literally He is a priority in your life. Can I tell you something? That as a Christian, if you want satisfaction in life, you make Jesus a priority, and you're going to find that at the end of each day, you're going to be like, thank you, Jesus, because this is going to happen and that's going to happen. All kinds of things are going to supernaturally begin to happen when you put him at the top of your life, as you make him a priority. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for every person here. And, Lord, we've just talked about a few tools. We've encouraged a little bit. But, Lord God, ultimately, we've got to do it. So I pray for every person here that as opportunities present themselves, that, Lord God, that we would be different and that we would be ready and that we would be loving, representing you as ambassadors here. I thank you for every person that's here. I thank you for those that are online. Lord God, bless them all. Bless them all. Father God, the harvest is white. The laborers are few. I pray for these laborers right here that they look around and see the harvest around them, their own harvest field, their own sphere of influence, and ask you, Lord, which one do I pray for? Which one do I go after? Which one do I share with? And the Lord God, you give them wisdom and knowledge and insight in how to take a step of faith that one more would come into the kingdom. We just thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you're watching online, put that slide up if you could for just a few seconds so they can take a screenshot. But again, the same thing is in the back. Grab a card, all right? There we go.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you were able to connect with the message and really enjoyed what God had to speak to you through our time together. If you would like, we encourage you to check us out online at reachoutchurch.com, where there's all kinds of more events and information and ways that you can connect with Reach Out Church. So thank you again for joining us. God bless you.